All right. Good morning, everybody. Welcome back to the show. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate studio, 7th floor of the Trib Tower, here till 5 a.m. on Friday, Fly Jams Friday. Lots coming up on the show. Our phone number is 312-981-7200 for talk and text. You can also follow us on Twitter at Nick D Show and Facebook.com/Nick D Show. I'm very excited to welcome to the show Kelly Leonard, who is an old friend, a good friend from Second City, and now he's part of the WGN family. Well, he was always a part of the WGN family because he happens to be the son of the great Roy Leonard. But now he's on WGN, WGN Plus. You can hear his podcast, Getting to Yes And. It's also the name of a book that he has co-written. And we're going to talk all about that and more as I welcome Kelly to the show. Kelly, how you doing, man?
I'm great, Nick. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. My pleasure. Well, tell everybody, first of all, what you're up to now. You're still a part of Second City, but in what capacity?
Yeah. So, you know, I stepped down last summer from running Second City for, almost 25 years. They figured out that I was not hireable anywhere else. I actually stayed on as a consultant, and part of what I ended up doing was working with our Second City Works division, which is the group that brings improv and comedy to businesses and organizations all over the country and actually internationally. And part of that process and part of that business is getting these really interesting conversations with groups. So we work with, like, Major League Baseball, and we work with universities, and we work with doctors and nurses and all these sort of interesting people who all have the same problem, which is, you know, basically people act like jerks at work, and our job is to go in and make them act less jerky.
Yeah.
If you want to really get down to it. And I really like doing that, and I also really like talking to these people. I was walking through, and the other thing is, remember our offices burned down in Second City.
Yes, yes.
So we ended up getting offices at the Tribune Tower. So I've been walking by WGN for many months, saying hi to all my friends, and the fine folks over there actually said, you know, hey, would you ever consider doing a podcast? And it lined up perfectly with the conversations we're already in. So on the show, basically, we talked to all sorts of interesting people who work in various businesses, but really they're trying to be more creative in their business. So, you know, I just talked to Christy Hefner, who had really interesting stories about, she took over Playboy like when she was 29, and is the longest serving female CEO ever in the history of a public company.
Wow.
Over 20 years. Yeah.
Wow.
Really smart, kind of surprising take on women leadership. I mean, she kind of less of the Brené Brown lean in women sort of thing, and more of, you know, all people need to behave better and be smarter. So it's kind of an interesting twist. And then just last week we talked to Michael Slaby, who was Obama's chief technology officer for the two campaigns. And he was saying to us everyone credits them with a lot of innovation, which certainly, it was sort of a miraculous campaign. But indeed, he said the innovation came out of desperation because there was no way they were going to win.
Mm-hmm.
And they weren't going to win a traditional campaign. So what they needed to do was make the campaign untraditional. So then that idea bubbles up a lot of these conversations, that a lot of innovation comes from either desperation, you know, white space, sort of startup mentality. When you really have no chance, that's when you can really, make your mark.
When did Second City Works begin, Kelly? How long has it been around?
You know, I started in 1988, and it was just beginning then, and it was called the Second City Comedy Marketing Group. A guy named Greg Gotz started it. He left pretty quickly, didn't really catch fire, and another guy named Joe Keith came in, and that's when it became Second City Communications. And it kind of had a nice, run there. But in, I think it was 2001, 2002, a guy named Tom Yorton, who I co-authored the book Yes And with, came in. He really built up the business so that it became kind of a thing, and we were in more serious conversations. Tom left last year around the time I did, and a gentleman named Steve Johnston runs the business now. And it's now just operating at a different level. I mean, the kinds of assignments we get are bigger. We're playing with a lot of really interesting players. One of the things that we do right now is called Brand Stage, where we actually take a brand and put it through a Second City show process. So it's kind of like replacing focus groups with real audiences and using comedy to investigate what a brand's voice is.
Wow.
I think you sort of get it when you listen to it. You're like, oh, that actually sounds way more effective. Because if you know what Second City does, essentially we use improvisation and comedy to get to some sort of truth. That's what most comedy is. And all these brands are looking for authenticity, which is very difficult when it's a brand. But there's attributes. They have personalities. They have, you know, voice. So that's become a big part of our business. And the other thing is it's just like it's way more fun than a focus group.
Yeah, I bet. Now, who is involved in Second City Works? Do you take people from ETC? Do you take people from other stages, from Training Center, Tourco?
Yeah, everyone. I mean, it is the reason that improv actors across Chicago no longer have to be waiters. I think we're single-handedly responsible for that.
That's great.
And Chicago should thank us, because I don't, you know, they're not the best waiters. they're not. They're friendly. They're funny. You know, but your order's not going to come in on time.
Well, it's true, Kelly, because they don't really want to be doing that. They want to be up on the stage.
No, they're doing bits with, like, the short order cook, you know, whoever. They don't know what's going on. They live that world.
Yep.
So what happens is it's an interesting mix of the people who are up and coming, who might be in the touring company, and certainly the people who are on the stages when they're not in a process to put up a show. They're always doing this stuff. And then, you know, there are a lot of people who are real good who didn't want to go to L.A., you know, and didn't want to go to New York. And we're like, how do I make a living staying in Chicago as an actor? And you can. You can work in the theaters. That's a mediocre living. But really, if you can augment that, not by waiting tables, but by, you know, going in teaching and performing and creating video and then do some commercial work and some voiceover work, you know, that is a nice living for some people. So, you know, there's dozens of those folks who are really good, who just didn't want to go into the grind.
Who creates the plans and like the syllabus, as it were, for these different companies? And I'm sure it changes depending on the type of company and what you're doing. But who's kind of the creative force behind these exercises?
So there's lots of people, and you know, again, we're taking a lot of games and exercises from the Second City playbook, the stuff that we teach in the training center. But Mark Sutton, who is a longtime Annoyance Theater guy, is the artistic director of our training programs. And Mark's great. You know, he's been at this a really long time, huge reader, constantly sort of looking for other kinds of influences and ideas to sort of mix with Second Cities. I mean, that's the other thing that's intriguing to me about improvisation is, unlike a lot of companies, we're actually not looking to be the solution. We're not looking to come in and be like, oh, you just have to hire us and give us a big fat contract. We're a part of any solution because improvisation is about getting people to collaborate better and sparking creativity and getting messages that stick. We're not looking to replace divisions. And that makes us easier to work with because people aren't fearing for losing their jobs. So Mark designs a lot of really lovely sort of interactive experiences. But then we have, you know, there's a writer's room at Second City now that has incredibly smart people that are, you know, just bursting with ideas and developing a lot of content across the company. So we can really draw on the full creative staff, you know, of Second City.
Do you ever feel, you know, because there are probably, you know, people who have been in the business world for a long time and haven't really encountered something like this. Do you ever feel resistance and then see that resistance disappear when they realize how much more fun it is than just like some focus group?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, we had this conversation yesterday because someone asked me a very similar question. I said, well, first off, no one calls Second City Works because they want a conventional solution. You know, the minute they actually pick up the phone to call us. But the resistance then comes from, you know, the guy sitting in the back of the room who, you know, doesn't want to buy into any of this, like, yes and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
The conversion process usually is because we force people to play the games. And once they start playing the games, it's very hard to be cynical because you're modeling these creative behaviors and these empathetic behaviors, and you're forced to listen to the people who are sitting across from you in a way that you don't normally listen. You know, they absolutely don't normally listen. So that is like a 98-99% success rate. And it's, you know, it's frankly, almost all of this stuff are things that we learned from our own audience because, you know, years and years and years ago, before I started Second City, business people were coming and taking the improv classes to get better at work. And that's really where this bubbled up. They told us, hey, this stuff is valuable. You might want to consider making it professional.
You know, it's funny, Kelly, because I went, you know, as you know, I went through Second City.
Yeah.
And in the different classes that I took when I went to Players and then went to Training Center, I can't tell you the diversity in those classrooms.
Mm-hmm.
And people who come from different backgrounds and businesses and
right.
things like that. And, you know, I had people that ranged in the age. I had like 50-year-old people and, you know, 20-year-old people in one class and those mm-hmm. backgrounds. And it united us just from that, you
totally.
Know, from that experience. People from completely different walks of life were united because of these things.
Yeah. Sheldon Patinkin, the late, great Sheldon Patinkin,
yeah.
who is one of the historical figures at Second City, always said playing the games makes you an ensemble. And, you know, and a lot of people don't know the sort of origin story of the stuff, which is kind of interesting, which is all of these games were created in the 1920s and 30s by a woman named Viola Spolin, who was a social worker at Jane Addams Hull House on Chicago's South Side. And her job was to help assimilate immigrant children. So the origin of these games were she had a bunch of kids who didn't all share language, didn't share culture, didn't share a history, and she needed them to come together and play as one. And so she made these games, which were, you know, kind of amazing. A lot of them are silent and or use gibberish because when the kids don't share the language, but they also include language. And then her son, Paul Sills, loved the games. He thought they were entertaining. He taught them to his friends, Mike Mickels and Elaine May, when they're at the University of Chicago. They formed the Compass Players in 1955, which is the first professional improvisational theater in America. And then by 1959, they you know, discovered the Second City. They make the Second City.
Mm.
So you know, when you look back at this stuff, you're like, oh, this stuff is all about getting kids to play better together. And I think for anyone who's worked in business, nothing changes. It's all about getting kids to play better together.
Yeah. Okay, great. Kelly, hang on, okay?
Yep.
All right, Kelly Leonard is here from Second City. He is the co-author of a book called Getting to Yes, and he is now also the host of a podcast right here on WGNplus.com called Getting to Yes. And we're going to talk more about the book and the podcast coming up here on 720 WGN. It's Nick DiGilio on WGN. We'll be right back. Good morning, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. How's everybody doing on this Friday morning? Here till 5 a.m., Steve Grzanich with the opening bell at 5 and Steve Cochran at 6. My guest is my old friend Kelly Leonard from Second City. He is now with us on WGNplus.com hosting a podcast called Getting to Yes and also the co-author of the same titled book and an old friend of mine for years. Obviously, Kelly is the son of the great Roy Leonard. Kelly, welcome back.
Hey,
and again, as I mentioned pretty much every morning that I'm on the show, if without your dad, I wouldn't have this job. So once again,
my
thanks to your dad.
Without him, I wouldn't be here either.
Yeah, that's true. You know, without him, a lot of people wouldn't be here. Now, I'm not saying that he was promiscuous. I'm just saying.
No, he did have six boys.
He did. Yes, he did.
So.
Okay, let's talk about the podcast. Are you having a good time doing it, Kelly?
I love it. And, you know, it is. I mean, it's rather obvious, I guess, but I do think about my dad a lot when I'm doing this stuff.
Sure.
And, you know, the one thing that I remember, because he was such a good interviewer. I mean, that was like his thing.
Oh, he was the best. He was the best, Kelly. The best interviewer ever. Yeah.
Yeah. And you know, two things I know he did. One is he prepared. Like, he read the book if he was talking to an author. And that is 100% what I do. Because it elicits this reaction. I had Scott Barry Kaufman, who is a psychologist who wrote a book called Wired to Create, and he looks at creativity through neuroscience. And I would hit him with passages from the book, and he'd literally stop in front of me and be like, wow, you read it.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, and I talked to him afterwards, and he's like, I've done thousands of interviews and no one has read the book.
You know what, Kelly, I just personally,
yeah.
that is the number one thing I learned from your dad. And I can't tell you, Kelly, the number of times I've had an author on my show who afterwards said, that was a great interview because you read the book. You didn't just read the bullet points on the press release.
Yep. I mean, I don't understand why you wouldn't.
I know.
I mean, that's your homework.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, people are lazy. So anyway, that's one thing. And the other thing is listening. And this is where the work that we teach at Second City Works and the podcast sort of connect, because we are, as a race, as human beings worldwide, terrible listeners. We are not good at it. And in part, you know, one of the exercises we teach for a lot of corporate groups is we have people start a conversation, but you can't start your sentence until you use the your first word has to be the last word of the person you're speaking to, what they said, which means you have to listen all the way to the end of their sentence, which when people do it, drives them crazy. It upsets the rhythm of normal conversation because we usually start planning our response about midway through people's sentences. And, you know, the thing is we miss information. You know, we think we have the gist of things and we miss it. So in the podcast, I really try to, I've got notes, you know, I've got plenty of things written down, but I really try to hear what the guest is saying so that I can go with that, because there might be a surprise inside it. And the thing is you have to stop worrying that you won't have something to say. You have to stop worrying that there might be little pauses here and there. And then, you know, when you listen to great interviewers, Terry Gross is like this. There's pauses all the time when she's considering something that someone said that might be worthy of following up. And, you know, that's great radio. And the other thing that's kind of weird for me is I can't decide whether I'm channeling my inner Roy Leonard or my inner Milt Rosenberg, because the conversations end up getting very milty. Which is just very funny to me. But I really love it. And it's funny, all the guys at Second City have been making fun of me from the minute we moved over to the Tribune, because literally almost first week, they're like, yep, you're going to end up doing something there.
Mm.
So, happened.
Yeah, it's great. And by the way, you can they're available on they're now available on the website at WGNplus.com. You can get them on iTunes. There are 5 episodes that are up right now, and a new one is posted every Tuesday at 7 a.m., correct?
Yep, that's it.
Tell me about the book, and what was it like putting that together?
So that was daunting. Took 2 years to write throughout the first version. But once we got it going, it was great. So it's called Yes And, Lessons from the Second City. And basically we cover 7 principles of improvisation that you can translate to business and to life. We tell sort of backstage stories of some of the famous people at Second City, like Tina Fey and Stephen Colbert and Bill Murray. So it's a mix of sort of entertainment and information. But it's led to really cool assignments. I mean, last week on Tuesday, I co-taught with my wife at the Stanford Graduate School of Business. Jennifer Ocker, who's kind of a noted author and marketing guru and teacher, brought us in to talk about comedy and improvisation with a couple of her classes, and it was just fantastic. And the Stanford campus is completely beautiful. And then I flew to New York. There was the annual Spring Road Conference for the Broadway League, and we gave a workshop to a bunch of Broadway producers and marketers. And so, you know, these are really interesting rooms to be in. And while we're imparting a lot of information, we're getting a lot of stuff back. And that's the great part about this stuff, which is, you know, you never stop learning. And it seems to me, and I turned 50 this year, and I'm the youngest of the Leonard boys, so we're getting old. if I've learned one thing, it's basically how little I know. And how great that is, because it can keep me curious and engaged and interested. And the people my age or older who are unhappy and a drag to be around are usually people who think they've figured it out and they've got nothing to learn. So this is, you know, I'm in the perfect gig because every day is, you know, blue sky. Time to learn something new.
Yeah. And what are you looking forward to in terms of the podcast? You just mentioned that you talk with Christy Hefner. Any other guests in the future that you're looking forward to?
Oh, absolutely. I've been hanging out with a group at the University of Chicago, completely random meeting that has turned into like this endless conversation. And Linnea Gandhi is a woman I met up there, and she is the managing director of TGG Group, who I'd never heard of. But then when I looked at the people who are the founders of her company, they include Stephen Levitt, who wrote Freakonomics, and Daniel Kahneman, who wrote Thinking Fast and Slow. If you have not read these two books, they are Bibles of behavioral science and behavioral psychology. And they basically take the stuff that they talk about in those books and sell that service to businesses. And Linnea is great for two reasons. One, she's super smart, boot school graduate. And also, while she was taking her graduate studies at the University of Chicago, she was taking improv classes at Second City. And so in our various meetings, we keep finding the connection between behavioral science and improv. And that is becoming kind of a new journey for us. So we're going to build a class together, and we're going to offer some co-branded workout to businesses. And I talked with Linnea for a half hour, and it's a great conversation.
That's great. Yes, and how improvisation reverses no but thinking. And it's Lessons from the Second City. That's the book. It's available now. The podcasts every Tuesday morning, they're put up new at 7 a.m. You can get them on iTunes, WGNplus.com, WGNplus.com. Before I let you go, Kelly, what's making you laugh now? Who do you think is who do you think is killing it lately, comedy-wise?
Samantha Bee. That show is so good. And I realize she has an advantage, like John Oliver does, who's also brilliant.
Yes.
That they just have, you know, the half hour every week. But I think Shakespeare said brevity is the soul of wit. And I think it's just really hard, especially, you know, like I like Trevor Noah and I like Larry Wilmore. I don't watch the show in part because I can't keep up with all those episodes. And it's not quite the special thing that Stewart or Colbert had, or they at least haven't found it yet, mm-hmm. you know, to my mind. Love Silicon Valley, love Veep, really, really funny shows. Have you watched Catastrophe?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that,
it's great.
That was terrific.
It's great.
Yeah.
Kelly, have you watched Lady Dynamite yet?
Oh, no. I can't wait. That's enough.
I did all 12 episodes over the weekend.
is it as good as it seems?
It is brilliant, Kelly. Brilliant. Yeah. And Maria Bamford is awesome. Yeah. You know what, the thing about Samantha Bee, I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I can't remember another time where there's been this much good comedy available through as many channels.
I agree. I totally agree. Yeah. It is a beautiful renaissance period. I wished Keanu had made more money. I really loved it. I thought it was hilarious. And, I mean, those guys are beyond, you know, brilliant.
Yeah, Key and Peele will do okay.
Yeah.
I don't think we have
And
I can't wait to see Mike Birbiglia's film about the improv group.
Yeah, Don't Think Twice.
Yep,
I can't wait to see that. Can't wait to see it. Okay, Kelly, it was a real pleasure, man, and congratulations on all the success, and welcome to WGN, officially.
Oh, thanks, Nick.
All right, buddy.
Great to be here.
Have a good one.
Okay, bye.
Take care. Kelly Leonard, everybody. He rules. Roy Leonard's son from the Second City, author, co-author of Yes and his podcast is out. You can hear it right here at WGNplus.com. Getting to Yes and. Really, really great guy from a great family. All right, we'll take a quick break on 720 WGN, and we got the news coming up next.